Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode number 289. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, any subsequent purchases you make for a certain amount of time help us out. We get a little bit from Amazon from your purchases. Doesn't cost you anything and it helps us out. Keeps the show going, keeps the site up and running, and allows Bob to buy those cool lights he's got behind him. So but we appreciate it. It helps us out. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, nothing much, man. That was a good intro. That might have been your best one that you've done.
I don't know. Just got to go with it. I was a little worried at first, though, because I have multiple tabs open to make sure all of our streams like go smooth, you know, and
yeah,
I have to like mute them and make sure. And sometimes I'm like, oh, shoot, did I get that one muted? And so I got to hop back to this one and was a little worried, but it's all good.
Yeah, I don't have any beef with Amazon currently, so it's all good.
Yeah, they started delivering your packages again?
Yeah, things, yeah, they've been delivering. Good. And oh, actually, I do have a, I think we talked about this before, but like every day we post a deal, like on the like on our social media, because I go through Amazon, I find like a good tech deal. I'm like, hey, this is whatever percent off today on Amazon, you know. And like they'll have the, let me see if I can even bring it up just to show you guys real quick. Like this is what I do every day for you guys. I go to, let's bring this up here. So I go to the Amazon deals page and I click on computers and try to find you. This is where I find you guys deals. And let me find it, because I saw it today too, I believe. They like post a picture that's not really the product and they're like, oh, like this thing, let me see if I can find one, because there was one that like showed a Corsair keyboard. I'm like, oh, awesome, Corsair keyboard. And then you click on it, here's one for example. So like I'm like, oh, an Amazon Basics gaming chair, it's probably pretty cheap, right? Because it says, you guys can't see this, but it says say 15% on college supplies from Amazon Basics. So you click on this thinking I can find that gaming chair, right? But that gaming chair is nowhere to be found. Like that's not the gaming chair. And then you go through all three of these pages,
and the
gaming chair is not there. Like, why are you showing me something that's not on sale?
That's kind of lame.
And like, okay, so that might be like a mistake, right? But like, there was another one today too that I went through, and I was like, let me see if I can find it on this.
But it was a picture of an actual Corsair keyboard, or did it even say Corsair?
Okay, so here's one too. So I was like, a friend of mine's been like looking at Garmin watches, so I was like, says wireless accessories with a picture of a Garmin watch, right? So I'm thinking that this Garmin watch, this Garmin smartwatch is on sale, right? So I go to wireless accessories, no Garmin watch that you showed me here.
Like, yeah, that's kind of crappy.
It's like, but there was one that's quite, like, so here it is right here. So computer accessories and peripherals. That's the Corsair keyboard. That's a Corsair K100. I'm like, oh, the K100 is on sale. That's awesome. So I click on it. This is what comes up.
Just kidding.
Some Amazon Basics RJ45, like Acer mouse, you know,
Cat5 junction box or a CF Express card.
Yeah, like what? Like that's Amazon.
Well, and like look at that Gunner optics, right? And then they show a picture of some reading glasses.
Where do you see that?
Are those
you
glasses, around? Right? Yeah, you've got your screen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Gunner optic. Are those Gunner optics?
Unless they've changed. Oh, they are. Yeah, okay, never mind. Yeah, those are. Just I'm not up to speed on that.
But it is kind of like weird because it's just like, you know, oh, like that's like the, that's a Corsair keyboard. Like I'm going to click it. So like, are they posting these pictures just so people click through? Because any of these products have nothing to do. There's not even a keyboard on here.
Right. There's barely a mouse.
Yeah.
Two mice. Nice, I guess. But yeah,
so that's my beef with Amazon. Not a big beef, but it makes it harder for me to find deals for you guys, because I'm thinking when I click through, it's actually going to be the product that they're showing, and it's not. But in any case, let's talk about reviews this week. So we have two totally different products, but two products that I actually really enjoyed reviewing. Getting back into air coolers, a little while ago, we did the Be Quiet Darkrock TF2. Continuing on that, we have a cooler from Deepcool. It is their AK620, which is a dual tower, dual fan cooler, pretty big cooler as well. I wouldn't say it's crazy, crazy massive, but at the same time, it's decently big. So I did a video on it. If you guys want to check that out, it is on our YouTube. You guys can check that out if you want to watch the video. But yeah, very big cooler. two fans, as I said, typical dual tower cooler, two heatsink towers with one fan in the center, one fan on the front. No RGB lighting. The top kind of just has like these deep cool logos, you know, nothing crazy, I would say. I think
what it's a pretty basic looking cooler for most parts, you know, like,
yeah,
nothing really sticks out to me.
It's sort of like your basic dual tower, dual fan cooler, six copper heat pipes, as you can see, pretty clean base there as well. Installation was actually pretty easy. I did do it, like all of our installations, we do it outside of the case so we can show it to you in that manner, but installation was pretty easy. No issues. The fans go on extremely easy with the clips. Sometimes fan clips can be like finicky, but these fan clips, like they go on really easily, so you can get everything back on. And yeah, this is what it looks like inside of a system.
Did they provide that screwdriver?
They did provide that screwdriver.
Good. Cool.
Yeah, so you need a longer screwdriver, but they do provide this one. It's not like the Noctua screwdriver, which is a normal size screwdriver with a longer stem. This one is like, it's a little more awkward than that, but it gets the job done. So but yeah, installation's fine, no clearance issues with your graphics card. And then with your memory, it will overhang your memory, so if you're getting this cooler, RGB memory might not be the thing that you want, but there is enough clearance. So this is an RGB memory kit. We have more than enough clearance for this memory. But again, if you have some crazy, who makes crazy DIMMs these days? Like XPG has some, like 88 XPG has some.
Yeah, where the one I think of is this like Olo brand or something I've seen on Newegg before. And some of their coolers or their lighting and heat spreaders, I think, are pretty Clev, tall.
Clev
has made some in the past, yeah.
Yeah, some bigger ones. But overall, like I said, this is what it looks like. Like you can see the RGB, you can kind of see it, but it's basically going to be more hidden than anything. Temperature wise, we only tested one other cooler, but it does really good temperature wise. I would say that it does get a little loud on higher, our highest test, which is 8-64 CPU plus FPU. It did get decently loud, so it's something to keep in mind. I would say the most, it's not loud like a AMD stock cooler gets loud, if you've ever used one of those, because those are extremely loud. Not like that, but it is more audible than say like the Darkrock TF2, which was extremely quiet throughout all of our tests. So just keep that in mind. But I do like this cooler. And the thing about these big dual tower, dual fan coolers is that they always give great performance, which this cooler has really good performance. But a lot of times they're so massive where you need a very large case. You need something like the Fractal Design Torrent that we just reviewed. Like you need a really big case. This cooler, on the other hand, it's 160 millimeters tall. It uses, instead of using 140 millimeter fans, it uses 120 millimeter fans. So it, you know, we installed it in a Be Quiet's, I think it, what was it, the Pure Base 500DX, which is a very compact mid tower, no problems. So I think that's the thing that's really going for this cooler is that it's going to fit in a lot of different systems. It's not just going to be for those really, you know, those really big towers, you know, big mid towers into full towers. It's not going to be like that. You can fit this in very, very small cases. You know, as long as, again, the clearance is 160 millimeters, most cases, most mid towers, 165 millimeters. I believe that's what the Be Quiet case we used is, in most cases are usually 165 millimeters, or above, like some cases are like 170. A little wider,
yeah.
So yeah. So that's what I really like about this cooler. I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's it's retailing for $69.99, which I think is a good deal too. A lot of the higher end coolers, whether it's a Noctua, the super high end Cooler Masters, they're all around $100. Even the super high end, Be Quiets as well, like they're around $80 to $100. This is $70, so it's a little bit cheaper. I like this for most people. I think this is going to be a great cooler. Price wise, installation wise, it just like ticks all the boxes for me. So definitely check that review out. I was really surprised with this, because you see these big gargantuan coolers, and I know it's either going to be one thing. It's going to be, it doesn't perform well.
Yeah.
Or the installation is just so hard. Like, it's just so annoying that like, I don't even want to review it. And with this one, it cooled really well and it was really easy to install. So it did what it was supposed to do. So definitely, like I said, check that one out. In the chat, we have Kosher Tech. What is up, Kosher? Hopefully you're not eating as bad as I did today, since you said you're going to be eating while you're watching us tonight. I had In-N-Out this afternoon, so I was a little...
All right.
Yeah,
you live in California now. You have to have In-N-Out.
I don't... So when I moved here, I had thought that I would, you know... Like, I had thought that I would go there all the time. But, I mean, today was the first time in probably a month and a half, 2 months that I've been there, so...
Okay, that's good.
I try to keep the fast food to a minimum if I can, but I had to drop off some packages and then In-N-Out was right there. And I was like, I'll treat myself, you know.
Okay.
So yeah. Fred M is also in the chat. What's going on, Fred? Good to see you here as well. Yeah, for everybody who's in the live stream, definitely say hi in the chat. You can chat on all the platforms that we're sharing to you right now. So definitely go ahead and say hi. Let's jump over to our second review, which was a monitor. And I do enjoy reviewing monitors because I get to play games as part of the review. So yeah, that's a lot of fun.
It doesn't get much. Same thing with like keyboards and mice. You're like, all right, well, I got a game. Yeah, like I got to test these things. Do it. No, this monitor looks pretty cool.
I'm
jealous seeing you get these bigger monitors in these, not that the 32 is as big as what you're typically used to, but it's still a decent size monitor, especially with the refresh rate as well.
Yeah, so this is the AOC C32G2ZE. And I'm sure you guys have heard of AOC. They've been making monitors for a very, very long time. And as gaming started to become more prevalent, they released their Aegon. Is that how you say it? Aegon? A-G-O-N. I guess that was like their gaming brand for a while. That was really to compete with Asus's ROG monitors. Like, you know, Asus ROG monitors were like the kind of like the gold standard when it came to gaming monitors. Like the
Acer Predator.
Yeah, so all of these companies came out with these gaming specific brands for monitors, and AOC did the same. But now, because of the space is so big, they have Aegon and Aegon Pro, which is even a step above, and then they have a step below what they're calling AOC Gaming, and that's where this monitor fits in. So it's going to be more of like your no-frills gaming monitor, gives you the specs that you want without kind of all of the hoopla or super high-end features like mini LED and some of the other stuff, HDR, like some of the stuff that you might not use, or like, you know, it keeps the monitor in a certain price range, which I'm a fan of, because like, just like the monitor that I use now, like, I don't need all those extras. I just need a good screen, you know, good specs, and I'm good to go. I don't need USB hub. I don't need any of that other stuff. So this monitor is a 32-inch, 240 hertz refresh rate, but it's 1080p. So 32 inches at 1080p, we'll definitely go into that. 1500R curve. It does have kind of like a very basic look and feel to it, which again this is not like their high-end brand, so nothing super flashy. All black, really thin borders, which is what you call that. It's like all but standard now on all monitors. You're not going to see really big borders on monitors these days. Your normal controls, so no joystick. Controls are on the monitor itself. I'll show you the menu in a second. It's actually not that bad. You can see the 1500R curve here. It's really good for this size, I would say, for sure. A very basic stand. The stand offers no adjustment whatsoever. So no height adjustment, no swivel adjustment. You can tilt the monitor if you want, but that's about it. I do believe for this size, it's not a big deal, because 32 inches, and if you're sitting right in front of it, you're really not going to be adjusting the monitor up or down. Mm-hmm. It's not you know, unless you had this as a as a display that you're using for like a console and you had it like up on a mantle or something, like you might want to be able to move it around a little bit. But beyond that, you won't need to adjust this all that much. As far as connections go, you have two HDMI, a single display port, which again is fine, because you think 1080p, you're not hooking a bunch of different sources up to this or splitting the screen or things like you would do for like an ultra wide. Normal power connection, so not a weird one that you could only buy for $120 through the manufacturer. So that's standard power, which I like to see. You have a lock port back there as well. No speakers on this, and no RGB lighting, just some red accents or anything like that. You have all of that there. You can see it. I was using it as my main monitor, which was a big change from this 49-inch. I went down to I went from a 49-inch 5120 by 1440 to a 32-inch 1920 by 1080. So a very
that's an adjustment.
It was a very big adjustment, but I wanted to immerse myself in this monitor because I was like, okay, I really want to test this out and I want to see how it does. And you know, you can, I hooked it up via DisplayPort. I'm using NVIDIA graphics card, so you can select 240 hertz or 144 hertz using DisplayPort. It also does support G-Sync as well as FreeSync. It's certified for FreeSync, but it's not for G-Sync. I think because NVIDIA makes you pay for that, but the G-Sync option does come up in the NVIDIA control panel, so you can easily enable it. And as far as 1080p, I'm sure you guys use 1080p monitors. It's not going to be something where you have multi windows open at once. It's just not. I don't know the last time you used a 1080p monitor as like your main monitor, but it's one of those ones where you have windows stacked on top of windows, which is fine. Not a big deal. But that's what kind of what you're going to get there. Now, the thing I did notice is that with a 32-inch 1080p monitor, your PPI or pixels per inch goes down a lot, which essentially what that means is you're stretching the pixels out. The pixels that are on the screen are being stretched out a little bit. And you can kind of see it in some of these. Like you can see how this circle looks a little pixelated on the screen. You can see it in text too. So here's our YouTube page. You can kind of see how the text looks a little pixelated. It almost, when I was using this monitor, it almost felt like I had Windows, what do they call it?
Scaling?
Yeah, Windows scaling turned on, but I didn't. It just kind of felt that way. So in general usage on this monitor, it is a little, I felt like I was an old person. Like, you know, like
It seems like it'd be a little blurry, right? Because you've got this so much amount of real estate and the same resolution image that you'd probably see on maybe a 24-inch monitor, right?
Yeah,
or something smaller.
Typically, so for the most part, PC monitors for 1080p, like the sweet spot is 24 inches. That's kind of the max.
That's as high as I'd want to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you do see 27 inches a lot. And you do see these 32s. But for PC usage, as far as like checking email and going on YouTube and other things, like looking at text is not saying it hurts your eye, but it just looks a little pixelated and it feels like you have scaling on when you don't. So that's just something to keep in mind. On-screen menu is actually quite nice. One of the nicer ones that I've seen, comes up from the bottom, allows you to change a lot of different things. Very easy to navigate. It's not laggy either. So very easy to go through. I don't know if I showed it on here, but you do have different game modes and you can set your own game mode within the OSD. So you can there's actually user mode, so you can change the different settings in the game mode if you want to kind of create your own. So you're not limited to the game modes. Like they have like an FPS mode and a racing mode. Like you're not limited to those. You can go in and select your own gaming mode, which is really nice. Now, as far as gaming, I did mostly Apex Legends, Counter-Strike, and Overwatch. Played all of them, which was fun. I haven't played Overwatch in a while, so that was kind of fun. biggest thing you're going to notice is that if you're going from a lower refresh rate monitor to a higher refresh rate, you're going to see, you're just going to instantly notice a difference, especially in gaming. It just, you just are. That's just how it is. Especially again, if you're going from like 60 to 240, it's going to be like night and day, especially playing fast paced games. Now, not as much in Apex and Overwatch, but in Counter-Strike, if I would like go like this with the mouse really quick, I could see ghosting a good bit, right? I could see ghosting pretty prevalent, which was kind of surprising to me. You can run the UFO ghosting test. Now, don't take this picture as indicative of what's on the monitor. This was my camera taking a picture of the monitor, which isn't going to be necessarily accurate. Right. But I mean, just, I mean, there is some ghosting on the monitor. It is prevalent. You're not, I didn't notice it as much in Apex. I noticed it a little bit more in Overwatch and a little bit more in Counter-Strike. That is because I didn't mention this is a VA panel. So VA panels are more prevalent to ghosting over something like an IPS panel, but a VA panel will give you better color. They'll give you better, not better color, but like deeper and richer color. So you kind of want that. Like you want the picture that you're looking at not to look kind of like dull and drowned out, I guess. So that's kind of the trade-off that you're getting here. We did our full Data Color Spider X Pro. Out of the box, 100% sRGB, 86% Adobe RGB, and 93% of the P3 color space. The max brightness that we could get out of this monitor was just over 400 nits, which is fine. I think this monitor is only rated for 300. There's no HDR on this monitor, none of that stuff. And you can see all the brightness levels that we were able to achieve at the different settings on the display as well. And again, you can make your own setting and maybe get the brightness a little bit higher. But it, like I said, it's bright enough monitor, no issues at all. And yeah, so my big issue with this, I think, with this monitor, I do like it. The gaming performance is good. Obviously not the best. Like the ghosting issue, especially if you're like a professional or you're serious about gaming, especially when it comes to Counter-Strike, like the ghosting is going to be an issue for you, I think, especially in that game. That's an issue, but the big issue with me is the PPI. So I am, and I you are too, like we're casual gamers. Like we play games once a week, maybe a couple times a week. Like it's not what we sit down at the computer and do every day. So for normal usage, I'm just not a fan of this monitor, not even for like the screen real estate. It's for the PPI. I don't want to be looking at my monitor and feel like I'm zoomed in, right? I feel like just the PPI is so small that things get pixelated and it's just not a good experience. That's why I really think that this is going to be a great display for like a console gamer, right?
Sure.
This will give you something that's easy to carry around with you. It has the performance that you want. You know, and yeah, like you're good to go. For a PC gamer, this, I would suggest this for what you do. Like you have a 27-inch 1440p monitor that you use specifically for gaming and you have all your other monitors around it. Like this would be a monitor that I would drop down and that I would play my games on. And then I would put back up.
Don't do any productivity on it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what this feels like. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. I gave it an 8 out of 10. It sells for $329.99, which is pretty standard for 32-inch, 240 hertz, 1080p. You can get like a 27-inch monitors that are 240 hertz are around like $279, $269. But again, if you want like a 240 hertz 1080p that you're going to use as your main monitor as well, I would drop down to 27 or 24 inch. Those are kind of like the sweet spots. So check out the review. It was fun to review it, and always catch back up on my everything to know about monitors, because things do change quite a bit. So that was a lot of fun. In the chat, we have a bunch of people in the chat that I haven't been looking at. Corey's in the house. I did see the call me today, Corey. I do have to call you back, but been a busy, busy day. Old man's in the house. He says 1440p is perfect for 32 inch. Some people will sacrifice resolution for frame rate, though, especially over 144 hertz. Yeah, I do think like 24 and 20, well, 27, I think, is the, if you're specifically gaming, I think 27 is the real sweet spot for 1440, and then 24 is the sweet spot for 1080. But I think 32 would be far better at 1440 than 1080 that we saw here. So, yeah. Good times on that. Like I said, I really think this is a monitor that like you would just like, it would be like your console monitor or your just gaming only monitor. So yeah, let's jump over to Case Mod Friday, and we have a build this week for from customrigs.de. It's called Frostify, and if Ryan knows anything about me, he knows why I picked this one.
Yeah.
It's done inside
some frosty tubes.
Yeah, the frosty tubes. It's done inside the Fractal Design Meshify 2XL, which is the big boy. You can see here. But the reason I picked this one is the frosted tube, and it's something about frosted tube, and I don't know.
No, it looks good. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. The water block too looks like it's polished to hell. I mean, it's kind of. Let me see if there's actually a better picture of it, of the water block. But there was, yeah, like, look at that.
Yeah.
That's
very nice.
Yeah, very, very nice. But yeah, frosted tubing, EK cooling. Yeah, I'm just a
EK fittings. Yeah, EK no, it looks really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that. What is
that's
this?
Like,
what? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's kind of how I'm going to adjust my loop a bit, is I'm going to change from a parallel to a series loop at some point here. And so those bends for the CPU is how mine's going to end up being.
Oh, nice.
That's what I'm decided to go with. Yeah, excited. You're asking, though, what are those fittings?
What is this? Like, it just looks different.
That's one of their 45 fittings that... they have there. I'm not a big fan of it. It looks like barrels like stacked on top of each other. Weird,
yeah, you know what I mean? That's what I was kind of wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. They're okay. I'm not a big fan of the look.
Yeah. But this is like maxed out with 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 fans, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Big radiators as well. Yeah, I like this. Good build from customrigs.de. We featured a good amount of their builds before. There you can see,
and this is one of those builds that's nothing, it's not like crazy, right? Yeah. There's nothing here. Like, I feel like if you spent some time, like you could have this, could be your build.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is that's why I like this, is because like,
exactly, it's attainable.
It's very obtainable. One, because you really don't, I mean, you have to do some slight modification to the case, like putting, I guess, the fill port over. Or whatever, or no, those go into the radiator, so you wouldn't really have.
They just have the.
These ones down the bottom though go into something, but like, you know, this is just water block on your graphics card. The pump res is all together, and Fractal does make mounts that would fit in the case that you can get. You know, it's pretty easy, except for the hard tubing. I mean, beyond that. Fred asked, what is the cost to put something like that together? It all depends on the hardware, and then the amount of water cooling that you're going to be doing. Ryan, would you give a rough estimate to what the water cooling costs would be on this?
On this build here?
Yeah, like with the fittings and the hard tubing, water blocks, so what, res.
A 360 and a 480 res. I mean, you're probably looking at 800.
And that's just in water cooling, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And then the actual specs is a 3080 Ti.
You look at all those, you know, fittings add up, right?
Yeah.
Quite a bit. The fans, you're going to need them anyways. Those add up pretty quick. The blocks, depending on the materials you go with, and you know, they'll add up really quick, honestly.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, just the case itself, I believe, is in the because it's the XL. So I believe the case is like 200, 3080 Ti. I don't even want to give you a price on that right now.
Yeah. Well, and he said thanks for the estimated cost. I mean, and there's so many options too on the reservoirs and sizes, yeah. And you could do it really cheap as well, right? I mean, you can get some of the kits that'll get you going for, you know, in the $300 range. You know, an EK kit that'll cool both a CPU and I think they have some available with the GPU as well for, you know, that $300 to $500 range for a kit, and then you start customizing it, and it adds up pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. So
that you're saying how those two lines go down though into the lower section of the case. That's for the front radiator. There was an angle that showed the ports on that radiator at the bottom. Anyhow, yeah,
gotcha. But yeah, I think it's a good build, and water, like it's like Ryan said, like water cooling does get quite expensive, but like I said, I mean, you can come out with something looking amazing like this. I mean, this looks pretty awesome. I'd love to have that sitting next to me right now. So Corey in the chat, he said he just got a RTX 3090. Well, congrats. Hopefully you got it at close to MSRP or a little bit over for a non-reference card. So that's exciting. I've been seeing a lot of people picking up cards.
Really?
I don't know if
that's like good past, to hear.
The past week on Reddit, there's been a lot of people who've been posting like pictures of them coming home with a card. So I don't know if they're just paying crazy prices, or there's just like micro centers are getting a few in and they're getting them. I don't know. But
MSRP like on some cards is still crazy, right?
Yeah, it's
unless you find a founder's card somewhere.
People want to build PCs and they're like willing to pay that much just to get gaming or whatever,
and they may have wanted to build one for the last year to year and a half, and so if they've been saving that entire time, they may have only been going, you know, oh, I'm gonna get a 3070 because that's all I can afford. Well, another year of saving could have bumped you up to I guess I'll go with a 3090 and, you know, or something similar. So
Talking about graphics cards, we're moving on to our news for the week, and HP Envy 34 inch all-in-one, I mean, this is what it looks like. I don't have it pulled up. This is what it looks like. It's not something that we're going to write home about, right? But in HP's listing, they have up to an NVIDIA GeForce 3080 Super, but there's no 3080 Super yet. So is this an indication that we will be getting 3080 Super soon? Or super cards. We already talked about it. They said CES time in January, which kind of makes sense. So is this like a mistake for them? And then, like, you know, it's just to say 3080 and then we don't know. But yeah, I mean, I assume that's when it's going to happen, get the super cards out there, which could mean a price drop for the non-super cards, but I don't see that happening either. Mm-mm. So I guess we'll see on that, but I'm excited for super cards. I think getting more cards out there is always a good thing. And the nice little bump of performance that they should have will be kind of nice for gamers out there. Moving on to Alder Lake, couple more leaks this week. First, a Core i9 12900K did appear in Ashes of the Singularity benchmark. Not a whole lot of information on it, but it's there. And it did show a score of 100 and there we go. Let's see. 160 FPS, which is this? What is this? What card is it? This is on a 3080. So my 3080 on a 10900K, or no, that's a 900K. So that would be back. So I'm thinking of my graphics card benchmarks. I don't know what the 10900K did, but it's below 160. It's like usually like 130-ish. So definitely some better performance there.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty cool to see that. It just means we're getting closer to a launch date, which we haven't heard of yet.
It's nice when these test results just show up in all these tools, and you know you're getting close.
The person who did that forgot to turn off, like, because in the benchmark,
the reporting piece,
So I did that once. This was like somebody like pointed it out to me too. They like emailed me, not from the company, but they're like, "Hey, like this card comes out tomorrow, and like this benchmark is like yours." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't." I was like, "Oh, I can't change it now." So
yeah.
So, but yeah, you gotta make sure you deselect that in the benchmark. So. Also, specs for the Intel 12th Gen Core T series. So the Core T, if you don't know, is the low power series. That was leaked as well. You will have an i9. Basically, it kind of mirrors the normal desktop series as well. So you have an i9-12900T, i7-12700T, i5-12600T, all with integrated graphics. I believe all of these have a 35 watt TDP. Yeah, 35 watt TDP. So these are like things that are going to be used in thin and lights. These are going to be, well, on the desktop side, things that are going to be used in just low-end systems, the small form factor, like
I was like pricing out some T series CPUs the other day for some all-in-ones at work.
All-in-ones, like, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have them now. Again, just another leak that makes us we're getting a little closer to another launch, which is exciting. And the reason it's exciting, at least for me, is the motherboards and the EEC, just like we talked about last week with ASUS, comes up again, and we have a full list of Gigabyte Z690 motherboards. They will be releasing.
Oh my gosh!
At least according to these two filings, which we have, if you guys want to see them, these two EEC filings, these will be 27 motherboards from Gigabyte. 17 will support DDR5, while 10 will support DDR4. ASUS was putting the D4 moniker on the end, or Gigabyte is just doing DDR4 on the end. So the normal ones, like all the DDR5 ones, won't say anything. Like you have a Z690 Aorus Ultra, on the DDR4 side, there'll be like a Z690 Aorus Pro DDR4. So that's kind of how they're distinguishing both of them. Nothing really jumps out to me crazy on this list from Gigabyte. It is all of their normal lines. We are going to get a Z690 Aorus Extreme WB for the water cooled or the water cooled motherboard, which is kind of cool. You have the Aorus Ultra Elite Pro series. There is also this Aorus
Stealth.
Elite, Stealth. So that's kind of interesting, because does the Stealth mean that, is it just a color change, or does that mean that like the Z690 chipset will be actively cooled and the Stealth version is the non-cooled version?
I'm guessing it's probably just the look. I'm guessing they're doing a version without RGB, right? It's got maybe just some blacks or some grays to it, right? Just a very stealth, dark looking board that might actually save you a little bit of money if they don't have to put the lighting on there. That would be my guess. Because I don't know that we've heard anything about the Z690 chipset requiring any sort of active cooling, have we?
Not so far.
I feel like that's something we would hear about. Because I feel like the X570, when we were hearing rumors about it coming out for AMD, I feel like we heard pretty early on that it was going to require some active cooling on the motherboards.
Yeah. So in the chat, Old Man said that he wonders what the power draw would be on the 12900K, what kind of cooler it will need.
Is it 125?
I believe it's 125 watt TDP, but of course that's not the real TDP number.
Yeah.
Based on previous Intel products, it will pull just on stock, like this is not even overclock, like at full load, it's going to pull like 220 watts, you know, something like that. So you would need a decent cooler, 240 to 360 millimeter AIO, or just like that, the deep cool cooler that we talked about, or a Noctua, something for like the high, like a, the, you know, the higher end cooler, for that. So, Neuroflare is in the house giving us a wave. Good to see you. Fred said, any idea when the Z690 pricing will be released? No. Do you mean, I assume you mean for the motherboards, probably when they're announced, we'll get pricing. No leaks that I've seen on pricing yet, but I assume as we get closer, we could see some price leaks, some retailers listing the boards and things like that. So
I'm guessing they'll be pretty close to Z590 pricing. Yes. I don't know that we're getting anything too crazy as far as upgrades go that would, you know, substantiate the need for a large price increase. For
$1,000 motherboards?
No.
Yeah, you need 2 10-gig LAN ports and, you know.
I mean, I'll take them, but.
Yeah. By the way, we were talking about bundles or like kits that you can get from EK or other manufacturers. They actually just launched a new kit.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you about this. This is the EK Quantum Power Bundle Magnitude X360 DRGB, which is EK naming is gets so long. But yeah, this looks like this gives you a 360 millimeter radiator. Yep. The fans that you need for push and pull, because there's six.
Mm-hmm.
So fans that you need, CPU block, all the fittings, the pump res combo, which I believe that is.
Yep.
You get the stuff to make your, to cut your tubing, like you get all this stuff, you get your die. That's pretty cool, and the fittings look pretty nice as well. You get all that stuff together.
I think for this kit you essentially just select your CPU block that, you know, matches up with your CPU and socket, the type of fittings that you want, maybe not the type, but like the color and like finish, you know, whether you want a chrome or a matte finish. And then you get to, I think, make some selections regarding the fans. Okay. And then they'll essentially populate the rest of the kit for you.
That's like, I always said this because I'm a total noob when it comes to water cooling, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, when we did our build with AlphaCool, you like picked out all the parts, right? Like you picked right. everything out, and like I would forget something or not know what to get, or like, do I need? I don't know how many fittings I need. Like I don't know what I need. Da 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 da. Like this is so great because it just answers all those questions. Like here's what you need to do your loop, you know, and it everything's there for you, right?
This is good. It's got a lighting header for all your fans that's going to split them out. It's got the fan splitter as well to control the and provide power to the fans. This is good. I mean, it's similar to other kits that they've offered, though. You know, you're always going to have to choose a block that's compatible with your CPU and socket. So that's, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
They're just giving you a little more customization with regards to that block, the fans and the fittings. And it makes it a little easier, you know, fittings wise with soft tubing, because you can make that tubing work in your favor to route it where you need. Whereas fittings can become a little more crucial to your build in a hard tube build, unless you're comfortable making bends that are much easier done with fittings.
Old man said, yep. You don't really need push pull fans on just one radiator. Is that true?
For the most part, you're not going to get that much.
I wouldn't think there'd be
you're not going to hurt anything, but
yeah.
And it depends on the types of fans you use as well, right? Whether you're using just some static pressure fans to push air through here or more just basic airflow fans, it does make a difference on how much flow you get through your radiator.
Gotcha.
Yeah, better off putting the fans elsewhere in the case. I agree.
Do they have a US price? But it's $734 or 734 euros. On this. Oh yeah, so you do get to kind of like,
yeah, you make a couple selections on your parts. Yeah. But I mean, look at that. I mean, that's $769. So when they asked how much that other build would cost, like,
yeah,
$800 minimum.
Yeah.
That's one was more, right?
Yeah, that's wild. Prices definitely can get up there. Moving over to gaming, I guess. Corsair launched two new mice, basically a normal wired version and a wireless version. M65 RGB Ultra, which you guys can see here. I used the M60 or 65 in the past. It is a really good mouse for FPS. Not a whole lot of buttons. You get this sniper button on the side, which a lot of people do like if you do play games where you snipe a lot. Definitely good there. And one thing I really like about this mouse compared to other Corsair mice is you do get the steel construction on the bottom. So this is not plastic. This is actually metal, which just it's a beefier, bigger mouse, which I like. Also going back, which kind of it's crazy, like the old school days, it does come with weights that you can remove and add in to add or subtract weight from the mouse if you want to, which I think a lot of people do appreciate that you're able to do that as well. The wired version is 8,000 hertz. The wireless version is 2,000 hertz. The newer version of their Slipstream wireless. So yeah, that's pretty crazy as far as how much data is being pushed over wireless there.
Yeah.
For just a mouse. So yeah, I like these. I think if you're an FPS gamer, these are good mice.
I'm just not, I have a M65, not this version, but I mean, it's very similar. I just have never been a fan of it. I mean, number one, it weighs more than I like. It's actually a pretty heavy mouse, to be honest, even without the weights. I don't know, just something about the feel. It is a good mouse, though. Don't get me wrong. Like, it just isn't my preferred shape and everything, but no, it's cool. I think this is the first time they've done a wireless version of the M65.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever offered it wireless before.
The M65 is really geared towards FPS gamers. And with the FPS gamers, you don't want that input lag that you would traditionally get with a lot of wireless. So the fact that they're able to bump up their Slipstream from 1000 Hertz or to 2000 Hertz on this newer version of it, yeah, that's pretty awesome. So yeah, pretty cool stuff. Maybe we'll get one into review so I can give you a firsthand test on what it's all about. So we didn't really write anything on it because it happened later today and I was eating In-N-Out at the time. But Microsoft did have their service event. We talked about it last week. They said, I think, seven or eight, a bunch of different Surface products, a new Surface phone deal, which I don't know if it's going to be better than the other one. A Surface Pro 8, which is a new version of their Surface Pro. They also have this very interesting Surface Studio laptop thingy that's like meant for designers and content creators. It's like, so the Surface is, so if you guys don't know, the Surface is more or less like a tablet, but a high performance tablet. You know, this looks and feels much like a tablet, but it has the little keyboard deal, but all of your hardware is in the device itself. So you can use it without the keyboard, obviously. This Surface Studio thing is like a tablet but like there's like a bottom section that it's basically like a laptop. Thicker, yeah. It's like a laptop. Like the bottom section is the hard, is kind of beefier hardware. Like you can get up to you can get discrete graphics cards in here, I believe. But you can see, like, you know, there's actual hardware in the base of it. I don't know. I think discrete graphics cards like started like $2,000, so it's pretty decently expensive. Yeah, yeah, so
$2,100.
Yeah, so this is, it doesn't say what graphics card I'm getting if I click on this. It just says it
just
says
a GeForce.
The previous page said
something about second gen RTX.
Yeah,
you were scrolled down a little bit. It had a little more right there. Yeah, second gen RTX.
Yeah,
a 3050 Ti.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, right there.
Well, yeah, we'll see. But it's mainly like, just like kind of a different, because it is a laptop, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like,
well, that kickstand, it's cool the how it could fold back then and, you know, have the form factor of a standard laptop. Oh yeah, that's pretty cool device, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. I kind of like, you know how I had been talking about getting a laptop, like I saw these and I was like, I'm going to have to go try one of these out, maybe.
Yeah, you have to see if you got a Microsoft store by you or a Best Buy, maybe you'll have these in.
Yeah, we have a Best Buy here, so I'll go. That's pretty cool. So that's the newer one. Surface Pro 8, obviously updated. I believe, I don't know what the big updates are on this, but I've always heard great things about Surfaces, so I don't, yeah, this is just newer versions. These are not cheap though. I mean, this starts at $1,100 for essentially a tablet, and that's with a Core i5, 8 gigabytes of RAM, and 128 gigabyte SSD. And keep in mind, these are running Windows, so that's, I'm not saying that's underpowered, but I mean, if it was me getting like using this as my, you know, my laptop, I'd want at least 16 gigabytes.
Well, of RAM. And with this, you've got to add on like the type cover, right?
Yeah.
So you can add it down there, which is probably $150. Oh, holy crap. $280.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes with a pen, but good Lord. So yeah, add on $300.
Yeah. And then like, I could even get like, I'd want at least 16 gigabytes of RAM. So I have like other SSDs. Oh, I guess I don't even know if I could add my own SSD because it's a tablet.
I bet it's soldered.
Yeah. So like, I'd want at least 512. So like, I'm at $1,899. Don't need Microsoft 365. Don't need a protection plan, and say I want this cover.
So you're $2,100. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for that. That's a lot. Yeah. Where I could get that Asus, the whatever.
Oh, one. Yeah, that you're looking at.
Yeah, and like I can get that for like $1,600 or something like that with the configuration, and I can get it with a lower configuration with like the 256 gig SSD, because I know I can open that up and use one of the SSDs that I reviewed. So like, you know,
yeah, Fred in chat was saying they've had a Surface since the first version and works well and enjoys both the tablet as well as the pen and type cover. I'm with you. I've got an OG Surface Pro, and it still works. I've got the type cover with it. I got the pen, you know, like it's only got 4 gigs of memory on it. And not a ton of storage space, but I'll turn it on every now and then. And I'm surprised at how quick it still feels for being, you know, shoot, that was 2013 when I got it. So upon 10 years, like that's pretty crazy.
Maybe I can get like a high end last gen one now that these new ones are out. Yeah. Also on the phone thing, Surface Duo 2, we talked about the Surface Duo originally, looked awesome, but in application and usage, from everything that I heard, the UI, it was just bad on it. So I don't know about this one. I'm still like, I mean, you and I both have like normal phones. Like I have an iPhone, you know, this whole book style phone, or I don't know. I'd have to see how thick this is too. Like, I don't want something that's thicker.
I need to know how thick it is when it's folded up. Cause I put my phone in my back pocket, right? A lot. I carry it there, and then I will put it into like a front pocket a lot of times too, just kind of depending on if I'm walking or sitting or what I'm doing. So it's got to fit in those without being uncomfortable. So fold it up. I mean, I'm guessing it's almost twice as thick as my phone, which I don't think I would like.
So, I mean, I don't have massive hands, but like, you know, you hold your phone like this, like you hold your phone. So how am I holding this with two hands? Like, I don't know. I would love to see it.
My thumb only goes so far. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like add my whole hand here. It's like, okay. And then like, you know, with my other hand, because if I'm holding the whole thing with one hand, that means I have to use my second hand to actually do stuff. Whereas my phone, you know, like I can't even get this, but like you can use your thumb. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and starting at $1,500, God,
that's all phones these days. So that's
how much I know. It's crazy. I hate it.
Yeah. But like I said, looks cool. I didn't really get the deals on the camera. That's like a big seller for the iPhone for me is always the camera, because I take a lot of pictures.
I mean, I love that, like that right there, right? They've got email up on one side and their calendar on the other. I would love that functionality.
Yeah,
like, because I switch all the time in my Outlook app on my phone between like mail and my calendar. And if I could have them both going there, awesome. I just, the form factor, I don't know. Maybe I can get work to buy me one.
So like that. So the big thing with me is like, that's why I had got an iPad, because I didn't want, we're not traveling, but like when I did travel, or like if I want to go to like a coffee shop, most of the time, like the work that I do with things, like I'm doing emails, I'm writing a review on the site or in Google Docs, whatever. And an iPad does like 90% of the things I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. There's only a few things that I really can't do on it that like I need like Microsoft apps or whatever. Like there are certain things that I can't do on it, because I'm not going to do video editing while I'm sitting at a coffee shop for the most part. You know what I mean? So if this was powerful enough and I can use Microsoft stuff on it, like that'd be cool as well. But yeah, and we'll see how it does. We'll check it out. I think all the big YouTubers have like I think they have like their review or some reviews or have some of this stuff on it. If you want to check it out on this, and I think some of the Surfaces the Surfaces, there's some people that got, you know, have them. So we'll see, you know, but if you want to check that out, definitely go ahead. On the gaming front, Far Cry 6, we did talk about it, the FSR, we talked about it last week. It has been confirmed, and the specs are out. I should probably bring it up on the screen so everybody can see it. The specs are out, and the big thing everybody wants to know is like, you know, how can I play this? They don't have 4K ray tracing off for some reason.
Yeah. Interesting.
But 1440p, their ultra setting, yeah, ultra. If you want to play the game at ultra, Ryzen 5 3600X, i7 9700K. So on the graphics side, 5700 XT and RTX 2070. So not crazy to play at 1440p.
Yeah, now, that's like my system there.
Almost. If you want to play with ray tracing on 1440p, at 60 FPS or over, RX 6900 XT, RTX 3070. And if you want to play at 4K, and it says 30 FPS, that's RX 6800 3080.
It's funny that at 4K, but a higher resolution but lower FPS, you can actually drop down on the AMD side.
Yeah.
From a 6900 XT to a 6800.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Yeah. I think for people without ray tracing, I mean, it's not, you know, 1080p, really old, like a 1080 will do it. You know what I mean? So, So yeah, that's going to be, like I said, I'll probably get the game just for benchmarking. I'll probably never actually play it. but yeah, and then talking about Battlefield 2042, it's basically been delayed a month. Which I'm okay with. I actually think November 19th is a better release date, just because of holiday time, and like that's when like a lot of people probably want to play this. But yeah, delayed till November 19th. We said this with Cyberpunk, even though Cyberpunk had a ton of issues as well. I'd rather get it later and it be good than it launch and then have all these bugs where you can't even really play it. We've seen that with games even now. Like, did we have that problem with Apex? Like issues with us dropping and
they fixed it. And I played some last night and everything was good. And then I was talking to Shinny and he's like, oh, they released a patch and it's bad again. So we'll... I would rather wait for a game and have it
smooth. And like with 2042 is like there is going to be like a story mode. And like I'd rather have that like actually work correctly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? November 19th, we should, like I said, we should do a stream or something like that for it. So we'll see how all that goes when that time comes. But that is the news for the week. Coming up next week, I'll be checking a look or taking a look at. I have been taking a look at Juju Energy company.
Okay.
Much like G Fuel, same type of thing. You get your, you know, you can buy them in packets or you can buy the tubs. And it's just powder and it's an energy drink. And the big difference with this over some of the other ones is that it has natural caffeine, not as like a, like an additive. It comes from like tea or I haven't really read, they sent me a ton of documentation on it. But it's not like, because if you've taken like pre-workout or some of the other stuff, like you get like really jittery and it's like not a great feeling sometimes. And some of these energy drinks that do have caffeine, it's like sometimes it's a little too much. And so this natural caffeine, but also with natural caffeine, you don't, so far, like I've had these every day for the past week and you don't get that crash. I get like, if I have like a Starbucks coffee, after I'm done drinking it, like an hour goes by and I'm like, I crash off the caffeine. Like I just get so tired. With this, I haven't had that. So that's pretty cool. So they sent me a shaker and they sent me a bunch of different flavors to try. So we'll have that for you. And I'll be more well-informed on all the stuff to tell you about it next week. Shinny said Bob with a mood lighting. Yeah, we started this last week and I like it. I think I look like a pro streamer, unlike Ryan.
Yep.
Yeah. Over here, so yeah, proper gamer lighting. Yeah, I think it turned out well. I have this like little light up here that's supposed to go on top of a camera, but it's just sitting on my monitor, but it works out pretty well to light my face decently. It's not as good as Ryan's looks more natural. You have what do you have?
The Elgato Key Light Airs.
Yeah, I've got Elgato Key Light Air. This is just like I can't control you can control the lighting temperature on yours and all that, right, Ryan?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So is it like are you using like one like this?
It's like similar. That, but yeah, it's very it's a little, I don't want to take it down because then I'd get dark.
See me.
But yeah, so we have Juju Energy next week as well as a Z590 motherboard, tiny guy. This is the ASRock Z590 Phantom Gaming ITX TB4. Just this nice, I love these little ITX motherboards, nice and small, just perfect for a small form factor build, has a lot of great features, so definitely stay tuned for that next week as well. So yeah, that's we're coming to the end here. Did we talk about cool stuff? Did you see any movies? Did you do anything tech related? Did you find a microphone in a box?
I did find, a mystery microphone that showed up close to a year ago that got stashed away when I was putting things away. Yeah.
I haven't done much of anything either. I've just been doing reviews and stuff. So I'm trying to think if I watched anything.
I think I talked about, I told you we watched the Green Knight? And it was like King Arthur type stuff. I think you were so that we watched that. I don't think I've watched anything since that though.
Yeah,
no.
I haven't really been watching much on TV all that much lately. Shinny says, as far as his lighting, if you guys definitely check out Shinny on Twitch. Is it just Shinny Gaming on Twitch? I forget what it is.
I can tell you.
Post it in the chat if you can. Sure. Yeah, he uses three lights. And he said they're from budget lights from Amazon. I use budget lights from Amazon for like my YouTube setup forever. But I recently bought a really nice
professional. That thing's enormous too.
But it's not. But it's like so. The difference is you probably wouldn't even know on YouTube, but there's definitely a big difference. Kosher says keep the reviews coming. For sure, man. We got a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff into reviews, so we have a lot of stuff coming. Kosher said no TV, more reviews. Yep. And then Shinny put his Twitch, if you guys want to check out Shinny on Twitch. But we're going to be jumping over to Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers. We're going to be over there playing some Apex Legends.
I put the whole link in there. I think I got filtered out by posting a link in there. Whoops.
But we'll post it in our Twitch as well, and you can check out Shinny. He's the guy that games with us, and he's better than me. I would say it.
He gets them. Yeah, he gets them down, and then we steal the kills.
Yeah, we steal the kills. So we'll go ahead and be over there. So again, twitch.tv/ThinkComputers if you want to keep on hanging out with us tonight. And that is the end of the podcast, guys. It's definitely awesome. Everybody, thanks to everybody who was in the live chat chatting with us. And of course, thanks to everybody who listens or watches later on YouTube or just listens on your favorite podcasting app or website or however you consume our content. We definitely appreciate it. So we'll see.